Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 250. Come hell or high water, we made it. To a wild podcast has appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, joined today by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters.
Hello.
Oh,
we did it, everyone. We made it to 250.
That's halfway to 500, so you know. A lot. Feel the pressure.
Yeah, yep. This is a show all about Pokemon. If you like Pokemon, you are at the right place. We're going to talk about all kinds of things related to Pokemon. With us here, we've got new Temporal Forces cards to go through and see if we get anything. The card luck has kind of been in our favor. We'll see if it continues to be in our favor. We may or may not have a special guest today. If we do, we'll pop them right on and we'll get right to business there. But I wanted to take a little bit, reminisce a little bit. 250 episodes, a few more if you count some of the bonus things that we've done, some interviews, little things here and there, but I think it's only like 253 technically. But 250 is wild. Like I had in one of my Facebook memories pop up the other day, a video from back when Megan, you and I used to do this from the studio in Brentwood.
Man, I know.
Not even the studio in Nashville. The studio in Brentwood, we used to do this together in.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days.
We had a large Pikachu. Whatever happened to the large Pikachu?
I don't know where that detective Pikachu
thing.
Went.
I called dibs on that Pikachu.
Yeah, I don't know where it went.
Long ago.
It didn't make it. I don't think it made it to through the move.
I'm just going to say this. If it got tossed and it wasn't given to me, I'm gonna submit an expense report so I can buy my own.
It's actually kind of wild when you think about it. So 250 episodes is a long time year wise, right? And so it's kind of amazing what we have kind of gone through, like as a show. Like Sun and Moon was still a thing when we started doing this. It was basically on its way out. But like this is an almost an entirely Switch era kind of show, but the Switch itself has been around for forever.
Well, like keep in mind, like the Switch, when we started, the Switch, I think had only been out like Less than a year at that point.
Yeah.
And maybe just over a year, because we started in 20... No, we started in... When did we start?
Beats me. When did Detective Pikachu come out?
2019. So the Switch had been out for 3 years.
I thought it had been 3 or 4 years at that point.
Because the Detective Pikachu... Let's see here. Yeah, it was a 2019 film.
Nintendo so Switch came out in 2017. So it had been out for...
Yeah, so we had already gotten Let's Go by that point then.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Really? I thought...
I guess I thought Let's Go came out after.
Yeah, because I thought I talked about it on the podcast. It's so hard.
Pokemon Let's Go came out in 2018.
Yeah, so we started
a rewatch of this podcast. Reacting to our first episode. Somebody make a cringe compilation, share it on Discord. We'll react to it.
Yeah. Roose Bane said he started at episode 34.
Yeah. To keep in mind, we started, shortly after, I believe, the Nintendo Sleep announcement, or shortly before, because that came out that summer. And everyone thought it was going to be another Let's Go announcement. And they didn't, there was not a Let's Go announcement.
You mean Pokemon Sleep? No.
Pokemon Sleep was 20. They announced it in 2019.
Oh, they announced it in 2019. But
remember that they had that big live Pokemon Presents where they gave out free shirts to everybody to get.
That was the weird one, right? That was the weird one where it was like all blue and
everyone was convinced we were going to get another Let's Go because it was like it was a live press conference instead of like what they usually do.
Yeah, I mean that was really something. So much has happened. I think it's just one of those things too, because I think one of the other things to also think about, right, is also the folks who have joined us along the way, right? The community, you guys, the listeners. This is one of those things where, I think Christian, Megan, and I thought, well, I'll maybe do this for a year and,
when people stop talking about Detective Pikachu, they'll stop listening to us. And now we're still here they're still listening.
And look, not for nothing, we are a top five, sometimes top two Pokemon podcast, depending on the week. And so, I attribute that to every single one of you who listen. I attribute that to the folks who start maybe 2 weeks ago at episode 248 and decide I'm going to go to the beginning and I'm going to binge listen to this thing to catch myself all the way up. You folks are the real heroes. I mean, don't get me wrong. People have been with us since the very beginning, also real heroes, but that's a commitment. I'd be remiss not to shout out, obviously, Semantics, who has helped build our Discord and the community and stuff there. We would not have it. We would not have it if it were not for Semantics, because neither of us are smart enough to do it. Rusbane asked a question. I have a question. Has the site in general gotten more Pokemon traffic since the podcast came along, or has it always been popular on the site as it has? Well, that's I don't know if we actually told Christian's basically origin story for comicbook.com.
Are we going back to Pokemon Go?
this was like basically when Christian had been doing some stuff here or there
I'd been writing on a daily basis, but it was all like listicles. It wasn't news stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And then Pokemon Go hit. It was before Pokemon. Well, right. Yeah. When Pokemon Go came around.
Pokemon Go happened, that's when the site turned upside down. Wrote 20 million stories about how to get free Pokeball.
Yeah, it was the top article of the site in 2016.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
It was an article Christian actually fought me to write. I said we should write this, and he said,
I don't know. The dumbest thing ever. And like, you know, I'm glad that our chat software from that era doesn't exist anymore, because it's being rubbed in my face on a constant basis. Yet Jim approached me back in 2015 and was like, "Hey, you like Pokemon, right? Do you want to like start like, you know, I think that there's like some room to expand beyond traditional like comic book content," which we'd already been doing a little bit. Like Megan and her side, you know, during her free time off the news desk, we had started to write a little bit about anime and manga stuff.
Goku side hustle, as I like to call it.
Yeah, you know, mostly about, I think I was about to say like 95% of it was about Dragon Ball at that point. And, you know, we were basically, you know, and so like Jim was like, you know, I want to try this out to see if we can like grow the site past just, you know, comic books and like Marvel and DC. You know, we covered more than just comics, but it was very much focused on comics related media. And you know, so I started, and he's like, write like 2 or 3 articles a day. And like within 2 weeks of that, Niantic like very quietly announced they were working on Pokemon Go. And so that was like one of the things I was regularly writing about, because there was a little bit of news and like no sites were covering it to like any real extent. And, you know, Pokemon Go happened, and like literally it was just, if we had Pokemon Go somewhere in the headline, it was just crazy, crazy, crazy.
Took right traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
awkward.
You know, now clearly because Pokemon Go is not quite as big, that's not quite the case anymore. Although occasionally, every once in a while, like Pokemon Go will go off. Right. Like that, not to like share how like the sausage gets made. You know, I don't know if, you know, we have, I don't know if the podcast has contributed to us getting more Pokemon traffic, but I definitely think it has helped solidify Pokemon is one of the things a comic book is actually known about.
Here's what I'll say, right? Like sausage made or whatever. Like the Pokemon, us doing Pokemon in this manner, especially, you know, with the podcast and all that. I mean, it has helped make us an authoritative voice in the space, right?
Yeah, especially because we approach things comprehensively. It's not one facet of Pokemon. It's the whole shebang.
And also, you know, not to, you know, the coverage that we did for, you know, Pokemon, especially in those early days, you know, and you know, not, you know, and Megan's work on like, you know, had a lot to do with this too. But, you know, the Pokemon was the reason why we have both the anime and the gaming vertical to at least some extent, because the gaming stuff, you know, Pokemon helped justify covering more games, and Pokemon helped, and, you know, and Dragon Ball, like, let's face it, like that was like maybe 20% of it. I'm not trying to like, or take it.
Well, I will never forget the day I wrote about what would Nappa look like with hair, and that article made the like, top performing article for like 3 months.
Megan clearly did the work in the trenches there, but you know,
I went in deep.
Pokemon did help justify that. Yeah, anime is a thing that we could do. Like we have Dragon Ball, we have Pokemon. What else can we do in addition to those things?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at
at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Before anime and Pokemon's kind of recent explosion in the last 5 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm coming up. I'm 2 months from 8 years at comic book at this point. So,
yeah,
we were just reminiscing
at that point. Yeah, we were just reminiscing the other day. We remember when Pokemon Go dropped internationally and every single one of us were changing our like locations of in our Apple accounts so we could download the Australian version of Pokemon Go to play it in the office, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, the early Pokemon days were pretty wild. Like, you know, now it's like it's calmed down a little bit, you know.
We've got some structure, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of structure and a routine to it.
And, you know, not to be that guy, but, you know, our coverage on Pokemon really set the tone for how a lot of mainstream sites cover Pokemon and a lot of other things. And so, you know, unfortunately, with how the site and, you know, the search engines and stuff work, you know, like flattery is the greatest form
imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that has also, because there's other people, you know, doing that sort of coverage too, that does take away from the impact that we have.
But what a compliment. Like, what a compliment. We created our own competition.
We did. We were doing so good.
We created. So now we just do it even better. And, you know, but part it, of this podcast.
It always makes me laugh because, it was really funny. I have a cousin who she's about to graduate from school with a degree in journalism. And you know what she wants to do? She wants to write for us. She literally has said,
oh my God, are we starting the Hoffer dynasty?
She has literally said, like, what I want to do in life is what Christian does.
So, and I'm like, become. Are we gonna have like a fight between y'all, like a duel to the death?
Are we
gonna go down?
No. No, but and she's you know, well, like the funny thing is she's huge into anime. Like, you know,
help me, I need it.
Yeah, that's fun. It's really funny. It's like, you know, when I was like, oh, well, you know, we did have an opening, you know, we were looking at, you know, bringing on another gaming person, and she's like, oh, I can do gaming, but anime is my true passion. I'm like, okay.
I don't know. Anime is everyone's true passion at this point. Last 5 years, man, help me help you. It's nuts. It's nuts to see where this has gone. 250 episodes, man. That's nuts. How many characters have I had in that time? Somebody go back and count.
In 250 more episodes, you know, our site will not be called comicbook.com and it will be called pokemonandanime.com.
I mean, hey, you know what? I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed. I'll just say that much.
So anyways, like I said, I wanted to take just a little trip down memory lane, just because I think it's important sometimes to just kind of remember, right? Like, this is one of those things again, right? Like, doing this show has afforded us a number of opportunities in this space, right? You know, Christian has got to go to Worlds and all of, you know, and everything else, right? Like, we have a line in to the Pokemon Company. Like, if something is going on or whatever, then, you know, it's, you know, we can get an official comment, right? And that's not, a lot of that has to do with, you know, publicists and whatever, knowing that, like, we have this space, this particular space, the podcast space, not only the site is phenomenal and great and whatever. It's the aspect of, we're speaking directly to Pokemon fans, and we're not even that. I like to think that the audience we have is very different than the audience a lot of other shows have, right? And I think that has to do, you know, just kind of between the mix of the three of us and whatever. But, like, but that's it. Like, you guys are just as important to this as we are, and we love that for all of us. So, with that,
really quick, before we move on, one very important person that we have not mentioned yet, who also deserves a lot of credit for the show, is Richard.
Richard, 1,000%. Yes. Man. Digimon's number one fan, Sir Richard Adams, the man behind the all of it. He's the one, if you watch the show live, he makes all of us look good.
I'm here to propose we give Richard a bonus episode. And we do the Digimon bonus episode.
The long-awaited TNA.
Come forward. You know, Digimon is celebrating its 25th anniversary. It just turned, you know, 25. It has a ton of stuff coming out this year. So, you know, I feel like Richard has a lot to talk about. Just saying.
So we love that for him. All right, so let's get into some. Actually, no, you know what? Let's crack open a pack first. So, I can't remember if this is the case I have pre-opened some. I have not peeked. I have not peeked in any of the ones that I have opened, except for the first one. And so because of that, I wanted to show something kind of important, because again, I couldn't remember if this happened with the last set. So open the pack, code card obviously on top. I'll put that aside. The top card. So if you're going to do the thing that, you know, that we normally do, the top card is the energy card. So normally it's like, you know, sometimes it's 1, 2, 3, sometimes it's 2 or whatever. In this case, it's just 1. You take 1, put it to the back. This back card is now the final foil. But
really,
there's three foils now in this pack.
Right.
There's two reverse. Yeah. There's two reverse, and then a regular or potentially regular foil. But also the alt art, I think shows up now in the second to last. Not always.
It can show up.
Okay.
So I believe if I recall correctly. And I could be 100% off here. Like, I know for a fact that it can appear in any one of the last three spots, but I believe illustration rares can appear and full art cards can appear in any of the three spots. Secret illustration rares can only appear in the last spot.
Illustration rares only in the last spot.
I think okay. So. I remember there's like a weird distinction. Like, there are certain like alternate art cards that are considered like rare, and other ones are just, oh, these are the normal secret rares that only appear once every 6 packs.
Sure. All right. Well, let's go through one pack, and then I'll go through some of the ones I opened, and then we'll cut through some news. So we've got our green basic energy, Solosis, one of the most underrated Pokemon designs, in my opinion. I love that one.
Who doesn't Scyther. Love a world floating embryo?
Ah, oh, Skitty.
Skitty.
So useless, oh, but so cute.
That's a bad A Electabuzz. Look at that. Ancient Booster NHL. So, right. So, this is the set that introduces Oh no, we've had agent.
No,
agent.
We had those.
We had them one. Last one, right? No, oh, I'm thinking of the other thing.
Ace spec.
That's what I'm thinking of.
That's dozen or just ace specs.
Buddy Puffin.
Code breaking.
All right, here is our first reverse holo. Another buddy Puffin. A Whimsicott. I guess one of the.
Yeah, the cipher. The cipher mean.
The cipher was also. All right, so we have a holo Whimsicott. All right. Okay, so for these next couple, I just pulled the back three.
Yeah, because who cares about commons and uncommons?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure, because here's the thing. We're going to see the commons and uncommons in the reverse foils anyway, so it's fine. Here we go. Shaman. A Zoroora. And snap.
Hey, look.
Gouging Fire EX card. That's a sweet looking one.
Just a big old Triceratops. That happens to look like an Entei for some reason.
All right, here we go. We have a Cordon. A Charjabug. Oh, this one looks good. Oh, never mind.
Dunsparce.
Yeah. Oh, wow, this looks good.
Jim's favorite Pokemon, Dunsparce.
In the comments, Semantics asks, what happened to guessing the energy? So in case y'all are new to this, we used to do the thing where we guess what energy the pack had. And approximately, if I had to guess when we did those unboxings, I had maybe two wins under my belt, and Jim had roughly, if I had to guess, 28,000. So at that point, I just refused to participate out of
principle. Yeah, it was.
I was.
I'm just a better gambler.
It was hurting our ratings, to be honest. I was so bad at it. So you know what? If y'all want to guess in the comments, go for it. But I myself am not participating.
Yeah. Here we go. Mudbray. Ooh.
There you go.
Chinchina. So this is in the second to last spot. But is this?
That's not a secret illustration rare. That's just an illustration.
That's
rare.
Just the illustration rare. Okay. Oh, right. The secret
one only be EXs.
Right.
Iron Thorns.
That looks terrifying. One. Very Godzilla minus one, which is appropriate given.
Which is super appropriate. Congratulations to that whole team.
Yep. Congratulations to that whole team. The only reason you didn't win best award was because they wouldn't put you in there.
We got Slugma. Another ancient booster energy capsule. Energy
capsule and another
Cordon. Again.
Cordon. Yep. And unless the last one of the ones I pre-opened. This was the first one. I know what these are.
There's Metagross.
Sandy Shox. And Bramblegast.
You know what? That's okay.
Bramblegast is also, I think, in my opinion, another kind of underrated Pokemon design.
It's definitely a creepy design.
All right. We still have some more news. Our special guest will be here in about 10 or so minutes. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll get through some more news and then we'll see what happens next. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our 250th episode celebration of A Wild Podcast has appeared. We're going to jump into some news.
There was a little bit of news this week.
Well, let's jump into the card news first, since we were just doing some cards. Yeah. A classic foil could be returning for a new store promo card.
Yeah, so the Galaxy foil, which has, you know, if you follow, obviously there have been different types of foil patterns over the decades in the Pokemon trading card game, but the very first one was the Galaxy holofoil, and that's kind of like those like Kirby dots style pattern.
I do like those.
So those have made a couple of like little appearances here and there recently, but it appears that they will start getting used in the promos that stores give out for like packs here moving forward. So over in Europe, special, like these are like the ones that like Best Buy or GameStop give out when you buy like $15 worth of cards.
So I had no idea Best Buy did that. And yeah, I don't, and I feel like that's been a thing for a while. And I actually had no idea. Like,
yeah.
Have they been doing that for like, how long have they been doing that?
Off and on for a couple of years. I don't think it's every set.
Oh, okay.
But, the ones that were done, over in Europe, they already like, you know, like retailers got their hands on what these holofoils look like. And it is on the Galaxy holofoil paper. So, now we don't know if that is necessarily coming over in the US, but it appears to be so. Because we know that like GameStop will be doing
sure
these promos, right, and Best Buy will also be doing these promos. It's believed that so GameStop is going to be giving out the Corridon promo, and they think that Best Buy will be doing the Mirrodon promo. Mm. So we'll find out if those are indeed coming out in the United States. But you know, you could be getting a little bit of an extra dose of nostalgia here very soon.
I love that. Speaking of Mirrodon, someone has basically created a rideable Mirrodon motorcycle.
Well, not just somebody. Toyota.
Yeah. Toyota.
Well, it wasn't just somebody. Toyota created it. Yeah. So essentially what happened is Toyota launched a initiative for, you know, the future of innovation and building with automotives with the Pokemon company. Essentially what they did is drafted designs to create a real life Mirrodon motorcycle, as you would see in, Scarlet and Violet. So they picked the best looking of those of the two, you know, Corridon and Mirrodon. They picked the right one, and they showed it off at a car kind of tech automotive event in Japan recently. What they showed was kind of the it sitting on some blocks, but it can be turned into a fully functional motorcycle. They're still doing some tweaking and stuff, and they are expecting to be showing it at some future car events in Japan. Across the world, who knows? It's kind of expensive to ship that kind of equipment. We'll see. it's an actual motorcycle. And now there are people, you know, obviously in the Pokemon fandom who are saying, you know,
right,
they want to try to mod their own bikes to create, you know, their own, you know, rideable Pokemon, which, you know what? More power to you, honestly. As long as it's road safe.
Runs on friendship.
You know, that's correct. Also on software glitches. Frame rates.
Megan had to
stick you that throttle. You throttle the frame rates, and it's great.
Pictures and stuff, we'll put them in the Discord. You can find the link to the Discord in the podcast description, and the linked post we have over on X. So you can you'll find some photos here if you want to take a look at it. But it's really, really freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's see what else we got. Pokemon Go Fest announced.
Yes, they have. So Pokemon Go Fest, the big moneymaker for Niantic, apparently is coming back. Go figure. Who would have expected something like that? So Pokemon Go Fest will be coming to 4 locations, and I will have them up here momentarily. 1 second. Because they have they do the stupid Pokemon Go Fest at a different place. It's a different, site. So I went to pull up, like, Pokemon Go Fest. And it's like, no, you have to go to the Go Fest page. I'm like, I don't want to.
I don't want to do that.
So it will be coming this year to Sendai, Japan. That will be taking place May 30th through June 2nd. Madrid, Spain, which makes sense given that, you know,
Scarlet and Violet,
June 14th through 16th. And then it's going to New York from July 5th through the 7th. The global one will be taking place July 13th and 14th. Now, we don't know very much about who will be appearing. We have some ideas. Like, we know that Maractus is going to be the featured Pokemon, like region-locked Pokemon, and it will appear globally. And Vullaby, which I believe can be caught globally, but is like limited to 12K eggs. That will also be appearing in there. And Jangmo-O will also be appearing. But the big thing is that Marshadow will be coming to the game.
Oh, nice.
So that is the big announcement there, is Marshadow.
Oh, we love that. Sweet. I like, when participating in these things, it usually becomes a case of FOMO for me. And I just need to see how big of a case of FOMO I get when July actually rolls around, I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a terrible one this year, so we'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
The Pokemon Go Fests always are a fun event. They do a good job doing the global ones that make it a lot more like interesting. I think that right. is one that's like, you know, for all the flack that we give Niantic, and rightfully so, we do have to give them props. Pokemon Go Fest and turning that into like a global thing as opposed to a event only thing just made so much sense.
No, yeah, 100%, 100%. All right, and the last bit of news on the rundown is a Captain Pikachu promo.
Yes, the Captain Pikachu can be currently caught in Pokemon Go.
Oh, yes, right.
So that one's just for you.
Oh, because, I got to do that.
You can do it right now. Literally, right now, there's a Captain Pikachu running around. Also, next week is Weather Week, or this week is Weather Week, excuse me. So get ready for that. Which it brings back Cast Form, our
cast
favorite
form. Pokemon. Stop it. I love Cast Form.
Cast Form's a great Pokemon with just a very unfortunate design.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Let's open up some more cards.
Maybe we'll see Cast Form in it.
Maybe I don't think Cast Form's in this. That's a cute Totodile.
Mm-hmm.
Meltan.
It's a cute Meltan.
Oh, Mirrodon, speaking of.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. All right, here we go.
Delkitty.
Oh, that's good. We had Skitty earlier, so.
Oh, there you go. Boom! In the second slot. So I was wrong. The secret illustration rare. Jim, that is like one of the cards.
One of the cards to get?
That is one of the cards. That is Gouging Fire EX for those of you who
put that in a sleeve.
And it looks like a Entei.
This is a gorgeous looking card.
With a large headpiece standing in the jungle. It reminds me a lot of the Mirrodon EX Secret Illustration Rare.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let me hop onto the official price tracker for cards like that.
Well, and the card behind it was a Whimsicott, in case anyone was.
Oh, what a letdown.
Ender-
I mean, what are you supposed to do after you pull that card?
Hold on,
I got a penny sleeve. Let's put that baby in there.
I'm seeing that card going for
a community giveaway.
I'm seeing that card now over in Japan. It's selling for about $29-$30.
Okay.
So right now over in the US, I'm seeing it for about $50, which is a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
Okay, in that.
He's going to get nothing else.
Tranquil. That's a cool Golurk.
That looks like something right out of the apocalypse right there.
No, it looks like something you'd find in Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. That's it.
Look at that.
We got Iron Crown EX.
Yep.
That's a cool one. All right. I think I opened three more. So let's see. We got another Mirrodon. Oh, this is actually, this foil effect is actually really cool. Like, it's got like the digital into kind of the classic electric thing going there. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I don't think we've really seen that. That's a nice little effect for the reverse foil. Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime, classic.
And a Fluttermane.
Nice. So the big one, for the record, the two big ones apparently that are going around are Iron Crown EX and Iron Leaf EX are both. I see those ones currently floating around. Wait, and
you say Iron Crown and Iron what?
Iron Leaves. Those are both like floating around for big bucks on eBay.
That's a cute
one. Drampa, whatever.
I kind of say it the same way. All right, last one I opened. An Electivire.
Pheasant. And another
Iron
Thorns. You think I peaked? Do you think I got the card I'm going to get?
I mean, you certainly did.
Yeah. Probably.
It will get no better from here.
Well, no, are the gold cards not in this set?
Yeah, the gold ones are in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you usually get one.
Those are one per box, right?
No, you usually get either a secret illustration or gold. I mean, you can occasionally get more, but remember, it's no guarantee. But
But usually. All right, let me do one more. And then we'll talk a bit more. Here we go. We'll say, it's always funny, like, some sets, really, you know, it's probably more just like it goes probably from like box to box or pack to pack. We'll do a full one. Does anyone want to guess the energy for old time's sake?
Not me.
Yeah. Christian said fire. Chat, what are you guessing? Giving you 30 seconds, 10 seconds.
You know what? Just for old time's sake, water.
So you got
fairy.
Nope. Water.
Okay, we got fairy.
Semantics, water.
Oh, hey! My God! I won! I shouldn't be that excited. That's probably the most energy I've shown on this show in at least a year. But I need you guys to revisit those old card unboxings.
This is like Megan pulling the secret altar just right here. She just got the energy.
That's more satisfying than anything I've done as of late.
A mile. Meditite.
Oh, we're back just seeing the normal ones. Man,
Terminator.
Look at all this great common and uncommon art that we've just totally passed over.
Well, half of these we've already seen as a reverse foil. Sent to Scorch, that's a pretty good one too.
Yeah, it actually is. Look at that Calvin. Palafin.
Airy, love it. Not to be confused with My Hero Academia.
Reverse Holo Vicavolt.
Set up setting Lickitung.
And another Mirrodon.
Hey,
this is like the third Mirrodon we've gotten.
So. I know you've gotten like three Mirrodons, two Corridons, you know.
I mean, I get it. That's the whole.
It's like they're really popular Pokemon in this gym. Yeah. Shock and surprise.
One of the other things I wanted to bring up is kind of coming out of the like the, you know, the game news and stuff that we got and all that was the theories for the new Legends game.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're a Reddit user and theories are your thing, or if you're not a Reddit user and theories are your thing, go because there's so many of them. I think the bigger question I'd like to kind of pose to the group is, do we feel like outside, like let's say like in your normal circles, right? Like who you kind of play and talk Pokemon with and things like that. Did the announcement kind of make an impact for you, like in your circles? Or do you feel that like you may in your groups may be the only person who knows about it?
So the people I usually talk Pokemon with
sure.
are children.
Yep. Jim. Do the children know?
They are very similar.
Do they know a new game is coming?
Half of them don't have access to YouTube, Jim. So they have no way of knowing. I am their source of Pokemon.
Okay. Well, no. Here's the thing. I'm gonna go somewhere because I half expected that answer from you. So I wasn't sure, like, you'd be like, oh, well, I told them about it, or if they were to come, because I have a follow up there. But we'll let Megan go first. We'll let you finish your story.
On my end, the people that I talk Pokemon with, a lot of them only got into Pokemon, I would say they were in it from, like, you know, Red and Blue to, like, Ruby Sapphire, dry period since then, or they got into it, you know, post Sun and Moon. So they don't have kind of the attachment to the legends that they announced during the event. They don't really care about it necessarily being, you know, revisiting a place that we've been before in the Pokemon franchise. The only thing that they're interested in is the fact that it is a Legends title, because that's the only thing they're familiar with. So they're excited for that. And then I have to, like, go in and explain to them about, you know, what it means to be revisiting this part of the Pokemon, you know, this Pokemon franchise. And they're like,
So they played Legends Arceus.
Yes, they played the Arceus. They came in post Pokemon Go, or they came in, you know, post Sun and Moon. So they played Sword and Shield, they played Legends, they played Scarlet and Violet, or at least they've attempted to. Like, that's kind of the situation for them. I mean, some of them have played Let's Go as well. So they are very new fans. And then the other people who I talk to are, like, very strictly, they miss the good old days. Like, that's kind of their shtick.
Well, okay, well, so,
come on.
So part of me is going to go a little, I miss the good old days, in a sense, but I think it brings up a pretty valid point and question. And I think, and you know, we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Do we miss gaming magazines?
So, yes.
Yes.
Like, I mean, and part of it's like, I can't, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, EGM's there, but kids aren't really reading EGM. I mean, more, you know, but like,
Nintendo Power was my life when I was a younger, a wee sprout. I would always be at Kroger, or whenever I'd be in the mall and they'd have KB Toys, be like, Mom, come here, Wii. Like, honestly, it was kind of like a double thing where I would be able to be like, do you want me to learn how to read? Do you want me? They could either continue to use, like, I could continue to be hooked on phonics, or you can let me read Nintendo Power.
So the thing is that gaming magazines are kind of, unfortunately, they're such a product of that era.
Right. 100%.
Where, like, you know, I don't think that, you know, I miss them terribly, because I always thought that they, you know, did a great job of, you know, balancing, you know, promotion with, you know, some actual bits of journalism and stuff like that. I like the freedom that, you know, having a center feature, you know, afforded them, that, you know, we, you know, you don't see very much these days. And they were just fun to look at and to have. Mm-hmm. And they were a permanent record of something which you don't see anymore.
See, I need to posit the question: do we miss physical video game guides? Because I still collect old Prima guides from, well, like,
I mean,
they still make physical game cards.
I know, like, but they're nowhere near as prevalent as they used to be.
No.
So
here's part of currency. So here's part of the reason why I ask. So Netflix, maybe it's once a quarter or something, they send out in the mail, like a pamphlet, like a kid's pamphlet, that's kind of like a magazine, kind of like, it's like a zine. It's not quite a magazine, but it's not, you know, it's not just like a flyer or whatever. It's got some activities in it, and it's got a bunch of, here's the stuff that's coming up, to, you know, over the next couple months. And I thought it was a brilliant piece of marketing. Right. In the sense that Nora has no idea when Pokemon Journeys is coming to, or Horizons or whatever is coming to Netflix, until I tell her, like, or she logs onto Netflix one day and there it is.
Yeah.
But like, there have been some things that have been in this thing that she has gone through and seen and saw, like, oh, I'm excited for this, right? Like I want, like, remind me when we get closer to the date that this is coming out. And I almost feel like something like this is not out of the realm or expense for someone who maybe signed up to the Pokemon Club, right? Or, like, you know, the Pokemon account Pokemon you get Trainers online. Club? Yeah, the Pokemon that, Trainers Club.
That terrible thing.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, at some, if there was some subscription level or whatever for, or like, I don't know, like if you were subscribed to Home or something, right? Or like the higher storage tiers or whatever, like you something.
So you want the, like, physical media tied with this. This very much feels like a, why do they not just give people free sleeves commentary?
this seems like, more practical. Like, this is money,
man.
This is money coming back in by informing the masses. Okay, this is way more feasible than my free sleeves argument last week.
So, you know, I'm just going to point this out, and, you know, like I said, putting my nostalgia aside,
sure,
for a second. Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, like the announcement was really cool. It was specifically designed to attract people like us, people who follow the Pokemon franchise on a day-to-day basis. They have like a year to get the casual, to get the 10-year-old kids. Like, they have, you know, this was that announcement.
Correct.
Was specifically for us. So, sure. You know,
100%.
Like, you know, so it's like, is a physical media piece necessary to, like, get people interested and excited for Pokemon Legends, you know, ZA? No. Mostly because, you know, they don't want the casuals excited about it yet. Because the casuals, you know, will just get frustrated about, like, where the heck is this game if they have to wait, like, 10 months. They'll find about it eventually. You know, like, I know a couple people, like, they're, last week I was hanging out with a couple of friends and you know, they were asking me about Pokemon Legends ZA, and then, like, some other people that were there were like, oh, did they announce the new Pokemon game? That's, like, what that sort of announcement is intended to spread. So I think there's, like, two separate things. Like, does the should we have gaming, you know, like, physical media for gaming? Yes, absolutely, 100%. Does the Pokemon company need that as part of their, you know, advertising?
I want the Pokemon company to send out mailers.
It's like, okay.
You've heard of Pokemon Company.
Well, no, okay, but look, but even, like, use the promo trading card game stuff as, like, a another form of, like, advertisement in some form, right? Look, they're already spending the money to print the cards and put them in plastic, right? Mm-hmm. Why not print another card the same size that's like the digital code card that just has, like, a, like, it's two sides, whatever the next two big things that are coming, print them on that.
That is actually,
send them out.
That's actually not a bad idea. You know, so jumping ship, hijacking this a little bit. So there was a new Disney Lorcana set that came out a couple, about like 2 weeks ago. And in those card packs, you know, they introduced like a new kind of card, location cards. And in the card set, they actually inserted two cards explaining the rules for locations.
Oh.
Like, in every single pack. And I thought that was, like, quite possibly the coolest thing that I've seen, like, a card company do like that. Like, there was one other rule that was, like, it wasn't, like, a new type of card, but it was, like, a new ability. Not, like, a keyword, but it's, like, there are, like, six cards in the set that do this thing. And here is what we mean when it says to do this thing. Don't do this other thing. Do this specific thing, which if you, like, read the rules of the card, it makes sense. But, like, they're, like, they like, spell out, like, don't do this. Don't do this. Only do this. And it's, like, man, that would be, like, a nice thing to have. Pokemon, probably not so much. But, like, you know, like, I was, like, thinking, like, Magic. You know, like, and all the weird stuff that comes out of Magic, you know, and, you know, I was just thinking that, man, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's a very simple, easy thing for the Pokemon company to do, to just, like, help get some news out. But now, speaking of news, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to welcome in a very special guest. The still, well, the voice of Ash, but also newest star in Pokemon Horizons, Miss Sarah Natogenny. Sarah, hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How are you guys?
So you doing all right. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm okay. Thank you for having me. Are we revealing the text messages we exchanged this morning? Or are we
no, absolutely.
Play? Cool. We're going
to
play.
I mean, we could. It's totally up to you. I'm totally playing it cool.
I think it's just the last touch him of me to do that. Mom, why didn't you wake me up? I can't even do it. I haven't even. This is the first word I've spoken today, except for Mom, get me coffee. What are we talking about, you guys? What's going on? How's it going?
Oh, good, great. You know, we were just we were vamping, killing some time. We opened some Pokemon cards. We were talking about all sorts of new things coming. We were talking about how we missed the glory days of video game magazines. Did you ever get into video game magazines? Did you like care about those or not even a little bit?
No, my parents didn't let me play video games. And I've only been adult. I've been an adult for five days.
Never right, yep. That's it.
I never played video games. I begged my mom for a Game Boy. And for my 10th birthday, she got me one. And it was like the best day of my life. And I was allowed two games. Mario, Super Mario Brothers. Kart?
Yep.
Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And Tetris. Mm. That's it. Anything else I wanted to try was tried in school, but of course in school it's all like regulated and they see you with a game where they're like, put it away. So I didn't play anything. And then my mom took the Game Boy and commandeered it and kept it in her bedroom because she got addicted to it. I didn't play video games. And then I got really into like iPhone games because it was right there in my hand. And I'm like, I'm just going to download Temple Run real quick. Yeah, and
there you
that's
go.
What I did in Mexico.
Temple Run, Flappy Bird, all those early iPhone games. Man, those were great.
Oh, man.
I've got to ask about the Pikachu you've got sitting right behind you.
Isn't this beautiful?
That is gorgeous.
So that's someone so cool. who I can't find. If you are this person, please DM me on Instagram. Or tag me on Twitter or whatever. Somebody made this leather Pikachu. I got this, I believe, in Fort Worth, Texas, like the leather capital of America.
Yeah.
And but the hands were missing. Like the hand, the little finger, this little part was missing. They were like, oh my God, I couldn't finish it, but I wanted to give it to you. I'm like, that's perfectly okay. And I traveled with it to Arizona. That was part of the same trip. So I'm like carting this thing around America. I go to Arizona. I had it on my table where I was signing autographs. And somebody else came up to me. He's like, I love doing leather work. Can I finish this for you? So he's like, if you feel comfortable leaving it with me, I'm like, yeah, of course. My God, please. So he finished it for me. And he sent it to me.
I love that. That looks great.
A little Pikachu. Yes.
It's very cool looking.
I know.
It's like one of those things that, right, like as an adult, you can have out and it looks like very adultish. It looks very classy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone asks, oh, that's Pikachu. And they go, oh.
Oh, that landed on my cat. Hang on.
I love it. Sarah, we oh my gosh, that's a great one.
Keep Pikachu is coming out.
Is there just a pile sitting next to you?
You were saying something about an adult. Hang on.
There we go.
Amazing.
I'm sorry. My cat mash.
No, you're right. Sarah, we got to talk about your, I guess, now brief vacation from the anime because you're voicing some Pokemon in Horizons. When did you know or did you not know?
Did I know
like in the time between you found out, because I remember we spoke when, you know, Ash was leaving, like that came as a big shock. Was it like 2 weeks later or like 2 months later before you got the, hey, we still need you?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't think there was ever, I mean, in my mind, there's always a like, oh my God, I'm gone forever. But I knew that I play like 25 of the Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I gotta stay. I wasn't too worried that I would never work on the show again, but I
sure.
But I knew what was going to happen, which is I auditioned for all of the for Liko and Roy and for all of the explorers and everybody. So there was a chance that I would be working all the time on the show again. But obviously, Alejandra Reynoso is amazing. Anjali Kunapanani is amazing. And all these folks are great. So, so I'm on the show like a couple times. I'm on vacation. It really feels like a vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I better enjoy it because what if Ash comes back?
It made me laugh.
I don't know. Then I'll be back to work and I can't just, you know, go to Italy or something.
You don't have a mobile voice studio?
That mobile, I think they would take some issue with me recording in the middle of. I mean, I don't think they'd, maybe they wouldn't care. I'd be like, well, I have to record at 4 a.m. my time. And they'd be like, well, whatever you got to do. But then I have to record at 4 a.m. No, I'd want to be back. I'd want to be back. I want to work with my friends. I want to work in studio. I want to, like, you know, be a part of it and not be like, I'm in Italy. Sorry. I don't do that. Not my thing.
Christian, you sound like you had something.
I was going to say, it made me smile in the first episode of Pokemon Horizons, like the very first like non like named character who like pops up as your voice. That made me smile. Was that like an intentional nod or yeah?
Yeah. And you, I'll reveal this. I didn't put this on my social media yet. The other voice you hear, the girl who's sitting at the bus stop, that's the voice of Serena, Haven Burton Pascal.
Oh.
We have a favorite in the studio. Lisa Ortiz, man. She's our director. She did that. That was her thing. When she told me that was amazing. I was like, you're such a legend. I can't believe you're doing this. really cute.
I'm going to potentially out myself for a quick second, but it's fine. So I don't watch the sub. I only watch the dub. When you're voicing a Pokemon, are you trying to match in some form or fashion the Japanese equivalent to it? Or do you get to kind of go in with like whatever you want to bring to it?
It's whatever we want to bring to it.
Okay.
We do hear it. We do hear the Japanese. And is it usual? I don't know if it's usually, but I would say usually it's close, but I could be wrong about that. I got to remember what new. I can reveal this. Yes. I'm the voice of Caterpie. There's never been a dub voice of Caterpie. And we did that because Caterpie is Ash's first catch. Yeah.
Oh,
I was like,
love that.
Caterpie, let me be Caterpie. Lisa gave me like three choices. Weedle would have been funny because I like to make the joke that Weedle would be on my team. It's funny. But then Caterpie, I was like, I should be Caterpie because that's meaningful. And we listened to Caterpie. And I'm pretty sure my Caterpie is pretty much like what the Japanese actor did.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it depends.
When you're voicing Pokemon, are they giving you is the prompt like, here's what this Pokemon would say in English in a sense, like a response, or is it, they do.
Yes. Yeah. So you in the script, it says react, but then it also has like a column of what's kind of going on. And we have a director who's telling us what's going on. And we see it on screen.
Sure.
So there are a lot of context clues.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. Sorry, that's such a boring answer.
No, it was just one of those things where, like, you know, I think we've seen a lot of kind of like behind the scenes kind of stuff, like on how this stuff works. We usually, you know, it's playing on screen in some instances or whatever. But I just never knew if there was like, if you're more reacting to the stuff that's happening in the moment, or like, hey, yes, react, but also we need to, you know, it needs to be affirmative, or it needs to be like, you know.
Yeah, we get three beeps before every react, so we see what's happened just previous to the react, but in the moment that it's happening, we get beep 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 without really hearing what's going on. We just have to remember it and react as honestly as possible. Nice. That's dubbing. It's the hardest. It's the hardest. I think the hardest part of dubbing is live action dubbing, because you have to match every little inhale, every little sigh. You have to really become a human being, that other human being. And it's totally egoless, because you have to give the performance that the person on screen is giving. With with animated dubbing, there could be more of an ego to it. I can make a lot more choices that are just my own choices, because it's animated, and you know, it's, I don't have to match every tiny nuance. I can make my own nuances. It's cool.
I wanted to ask Sarah, because I stalk you on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, and I know recently an interview that the producers of Pokemon Horizons did with Variety, and you shared a quote where they said, you know, we hope Ash and Pikachu continue in their journey. It's up to the fans' imaginations. I want to know, what's Ash and Pikachu up to in your imagination?
Oh my goodness. I think they're off continuing on doing what they usually do, but I think they get to do it now with a sense of I'm a champion. So I think there is a bit more of a lax, like a bit of a vacation, he might be resting on his laurels a little bit, and maybe learning some lessons that go along with resting on your laurels. Pokemon, just saying, these are good ideas. You should
absolutely.
He rests on his laurels, and then he gets in some trouble, and maybe Team Rocket comes back and steals a Pikachu, and he has to go get him. But he's like, "Oh, but I'm in Italy," you know.
Like a Creed comeback for Ash, where like he's Rocky coming in to train for Creed. And, you know, that's what I need. I need that.
I think once he learns his lesson in that, I think he learns a big lesson after resting on his laurels, and he's like, "All right, man, I got to get my stuff together. Here we go." And then he goes to a new location and comes in, and everybody's like, "Wow, we've heard of you. You're a legend." And he's like, "I'm going to train all of you to be just like me." And he trains them. But then also while he's training, he's also battling himself and like teaching a master class on how to be a great Pokemon.
Wow. Pokemon Battle Academy with Headmaster Ash.
Exactly.
I know. Ash is like Miyagi, basically.
Yeah. That's like the number one. I'm making jokes, but that's what I see him doing. That was what I thought when they were like, "Oh, Ash won the world championship." I'm at a convention and everybody's like, "So what do you think is going to happen?" I'm like, "What do you mean? He's going to continue." And over the course of the day, with everybody being like, "Is he going to be on the show anymore?" I'm like, "Oh my God, he might not be on the show anymore." Oh, no. It ended real depressing. And then I ended like over the course of, I don't know, what was it, like 2 months between finding out that he's not going to be on the show anymore and then finding out that he's not going to be on the show anymore. I came up with all these excuses for him to stay. Yeah. Like he should be a professor. He should be a master trainer. He could.
I just, in this scenario, imagine more like, you know, Megan's got, you know, the Rocky comparison. I just imagine more Al Pacino's character in Godfather 3 just being like, "I was finally out and they pulled me back in."
That's great. Yeah.
I'm guessing that Ash will come back to the anime when like there's a Captain Pikachu swap. Where, you know, just imagine like Ash's Pikachu trying to run an airship and just be like, "Guys, I don't know. The hat won't come off my head. I don't know how to run this thing. Like, why is everyone looking to me for orders? I don't know how to fly this thing."
Are you suggesting we're going to get a parent trap situation?
That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah. It's parent trap. I think the Captain Pikachu and Pikachu meet randomly in the water. Like Pikachu's just swimming because they're on vacation, obviously.
Right.
And Captain Pikachu sees him and says, "Oh, we got to rescue that Pikachu." But that Pikachu is just chilling. He's fine. But we rescue him anyway. And then they're like, "Okay, we're going to conspire. I'm going to give you my hat. And we'll see how long you can last as the captain of a ship, little guy."
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah. Humbling.
Sarah, you've continued on the convention circuit for a bit. Have you been to any new cities recently, like first time cities recently that like totally surprised you?
New Orleans. It didn't surprise me. I knew I would love it. No surprise. But it was surprising because there was a horrible, horrible rainstorm, like a tornado, rain, hail.
Oh, wow.
Winter hurricane. And it was like four of us, me, an agent, and his gal, and somebody. Oh, wait, who else was there? I'm gone. Sorry. It's New Orleans, man. Remembering New Orleans and stuff. So we were in a restaurant, and there was another restaurant that we wanted to go to, and they were like, no, we're closing. And I'm like, maybe we should go home. This sounds kind of dangerous. And they were like, nah, it'll be fine. I'm like, I don't have an umbrella. They're like, you won't need an umbrella. It's going to fly away. And it starts pouring. The windows are like this.
Oh my gosh.
And there were breaks in the rain. So we walked. I canceled my flight. I'm like, even if the planes leave, I'm not leaving in this. I don't like to fly. I don't want to be bouncing around in a hurricane. So I canceled my flight and rescheduled it for like the next day or 2 days later. And the comm was really sweet. They let me stay. And we stayed in that restaurant for as long as they would let us. And then they were closing as well and shuttering or whatever. And we walked through the rain. We were like, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay out, because I had a feeling too. I'm from New York, so I know like tropical kind of wild weather.
Right.
New York tropical zone. That's kind of new. It's a new factoid. We stayed out and the weather let up and we had an amazing time. And we went to like a voodoo shop and we went to a French, it looked like the Beauty and the Beast. It was beautiful. A French bar and had some beers and went and saw the music, you know, we had a great time. There's such a great energy there. It's a little bit spooky and it's a little bit, you know, there's definitely an element of like afterlife in there, but, the music scene is incredible. Everywhere we went, it was just like world-class jazz. It was great. And I love that. And if you don't love it, if it's not your thing, you go next door. You literally just like leave, you go next door and see if you like the music there. You don't like, you go across the street and there's another band playing. It's just like freedom. It's great.
Yeah. That's basically like, that's like Nashville with country music. Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. You just go from door to door and see what you like there.
Exactly.
Sarah, I gotta ask you, you're doing a play.
Yes.
A Shel Silverstein play.
Yeah. Not for children.
Not for children. No. What can you tell us about it?
Shel Silverstein, weird dude. Shel Silverstein wrote children's books and poems. Correct. And we all read them. And he also wrote plays for adults and songs for adults that you can find on Spotify. That can be your initiation, not for children. Actually, the songs I think are, I'm not sure. Parents, you see, we listen first. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's 9 plays, 9 short plays over like 80, 90 minutes. And I'm in 3 of them. And one is about a hoarder, which is my grandma. I get to play my grandma, which is so fun. One is about an absolutely awfully sadistic woman trying to get her husband to decide who he would kill, him, his mother, her, his mother, or their daughter. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Awful, awful. And the last one is to sex workers speaking in rhyme. Everything has to rhyme with E. And they're on the street doing their thing. And a guy comes and it offends them. They all have PhDs, actually. So great stuff. Really great writing. The team is fantastic. Foster Cat Productions. I met them. I was at the 48-Hour Play Festival, which I'm now doing this round. Very excited to. And these guys, you know, in the theater community, everybody kind of does everything. So they were serving coffee at the 48-Hour Theater Festival. And I needed some coffee. I'd just gotten off a plane. I was going to see my friend in the show. And they served me coffee in a mug. And you can't walk into a theater with this. They don't allow it. And I knew that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try. Maybe this is a different, maybe LA theater is weird. I try to walk in. Of course, they stop me. Sorry, ma'am. Get a cup with the lid. I get a cup with a lid and I give the mug back to them. And they're like, no, you paid for that. That's for you. And I'm like, but I can't. What am I going to do with a dirty mug? So we got in a little tiff and became best friends after that. I come out of the theater afterwards. They're like, "Do you want it?" I'm like, "You're stop trying to foist your mug on me. I want your damn mug." And after that, we started talking to like Foster Cat Productions. I'm like, my mom and I fostered 100 cats. What's going on here? What are you doing? And I saw their Ethan Coen plays, which I'm in as well. It's a different night. So it's two different nights. And the Coen plays were fantastic. They had a sold out run next door to the 48-hour play festival. And I was like, I want to work with you. I want to do plays too. I haven't done one in 10 years. And they let me bring in my friend who I did a play with 10 years ago. Both of us haven't done a run of a play since then.
Nice. So it's
really fun to reconnect. Rachel Troy, oh my God. Her one-woman show is called Baby. She's doing it at the Hollywood Fringe. She's a genius. I'm so, so happy to see her working again. Yeah.
So for you as an actor, obviously it sounds like this was a kind of a bucket list thing for you that you like, you've wanted to get back on stage in some form or fashion, like in a play. And, you know, obviously, you know, your voice acting stuff, keeps you busy there, but have you ever wanted to go the, you know, the like movie or television route or were you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you, is that something that like, you know, is that something that you, like you're still kind of like actively trying to pursue or is it like, it sounds like this play kind of, I don't want to say fell into your lap, but you saw the opportunity and you wanted to go for it.
That's so much of what acting is. That is so much, like you can even hear it. I can hear it backstage when I'm at conventions, huge actors meeting each other or meeting a director who's also signing and being like, well, we got to find something to work on together. I love you specifically and I would love to work with you. I think so much of what happens on screen happens at a party. It's like, I really want to do that. You have to be so specific about what you want to do as an actor, especially at a certain level. You know, when you're very young, you should take as much as you can and, you know, be discerning, but I was a little too discerning. I was like, I don't want to do that. That's not any good. And it lives forever. The film lives forever. So like you can do some theater that nobody's going to remember 10 years from now. But if you do film, someone's going to dig it up and be like, she did that. It's terrible. but who cares? Who cares? I'm at a point of like, who cares? Just go for the things you want to do. And part of doing the plays, it's, you know, everything should be strategic. I think it's a good idea to do the plays because a lot of people in LA don't know who I am. I'm from New York. So yeah, I'm inviting a lot of people. And so far it's actually been really great. So,
That's awesome. So you're spending more time in LA now than you have in New York?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously because you've got the play and stuff here, but.
Everything is here. Yeah, I'm taking a break from conventions to do the play because they're all that we only perform on weekends.
Right.
Sorry. I'll be back in April. It's fun. I do love traveling. So you know, and it's meeting fans. It's such a different life to do a production in front of 60 people and then go back out and like do conventions and have lines of it's so weird. To be like voice of Ash Ketchum and also like Black Box Theater Girl. A weird dichotomy. I have a very strange ego. I'm fine.
I love it. All right. Well, we don't want to keep you too much longer. We do have one more part of the show that we'd love to have you stick around for. We do at the end of every episode, we're working our way through the Pokedex in some form or fashion. But I think today's Pokemon Fact of the Week, Christian, is. We're going all the way back to the beginning just for whatever reason.
Well, because it's 250 episodes. I figured, why the heck not?
Fair enough.
You know,
what do we got today?
So we're talking, we're going all the way back to my favorite Pokemon, Bulbasaur. So fun fact, Bulbasaur was designed backwards. And what that means is that it was actually the last of its evolutionary line to be created. They designed Venusaur first and then from there, figured out what medium-sized Venusaur looked like and then what baby Venusaur looked like. So Venusaur was always designed, you know, based on a frog, and they kind of, like, figured it out moving backwards. Also, fun fact, Bulbasaur and the entire evolutionary line was designed by the same person who designed Pikachu. Atsuko Nishida.
So, yes. Very interesting.
There we go.
And no other Pokemon. I just want to confirm. No other Pokemon was designed backwards.
There are a few. there are a few where they come up. They come up with like the cool Pokemon first, and then they're like, okay, now what do we do with this? Is it a standalone? You know, do we come up with something better? But I never knew that about Bulbasaur. I always kind of assumed, because I think, if I recall correctly, Charmander was always designed as part of, like, the Charmander evolutionary design was all one. But originally, I guess this is a fun fact that we've talked about here before, but maybe you haven't heard of this, Sarah. Squirtle and War Turtle were originally separate from Blastoise. Blastoise was its own separate Pokemon line. Like, it was going to have different evolutions. And, you know, Squirtle and War Turtle were going to be something entirely different. So that's a fun fact.
Where are you getting this information?
They all are all a various source from interviews, but Bulbapedia. But you know, I do check the sources.
Christian is our industry's foremost real life Pokemon professor. Basically, he's the best Poke journalist we can afford. look, hey Sarah, thanks so much for coming by all. Crazy morning, all things considered, but like, we always appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much for dealing with me. This was fun.
You're fine. Where can people find you in case this may be their first time realizing who and what you are?
This is it. I should have put it in the thing. It's my name, at my name, everywhere. TikTok. Instagram mostly. That's my stories. I peek in stories.
Is that your platform of choice?
Instagram, definitely. Yeah. The stories are fun. I could just they go away in 24. They're like a play. They go away in 24.
The little black box of social media.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, awesome. Let me close out with some business. If you want to find the show, pop into the Discord. Discord link is in the episode description, in the podcast description, and then also in the pinned post we have on X at Pokemon Pod CB is where you can find us there. Tons of great stuff going on. A lot of folks showing us their card pulls, folks getting together for raids, all things like that. Questions, memes, you name it. Great community there. We love it. If you want to find me, you can find me at Jim Biscardi. Megan is at Megan Peter CB. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. And next week, the road to, I guess Megan said 500 now starts with 251. So I can't make that promise, but I'll soft make the promise.
What is that supposed to mean, Jim? We are absolutely. I am not leaving this podcast until we have as many episodes as Pokemon has episodes. And we're never going to catch up at this point.
I love it. All right, folks. May all the shiny luck be in your favor. We will catch you same time, same place next week. We'll see you later.